I want to read some scripture this morning taken from the 15th chapter of Luke. 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. I begin reading in verse 1. I'm going to speak to you this morning about the value of just one. The value of just one repenting sinner. The value of just one. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eats with them." And he spake this parable unto them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say unto you that likewise, or in like manner, joy shall be in heaven." See, I believe in a heaven. Amen. There's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shine. There's a heaven. God's in heaven. And he says, "Likewise, or in the same manner, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? When she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost.' Likewise," or in the same manner, "I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents." One sinner that repents. Now, we typically today don't attach a lot of value to coins. We may pass a penny on the sidewalk, never reach down, never pick it up. We are very nonchalant with a lot of our loose change. And as I was studying the parable of the woman and the lost coin, and that's going to be my main lesson this morning, is this parable of the woman and the lost coin, I thought about how that a lot of people today put very little emphasis and very little stress on pennies. I mean, you can go to the grocery store, or maybe some of the supermarkets, and there might be, or some of your some of the places that you buy and sell, and you'll find little trays with pennies in it. People just throw them away. There's little consideration. I think it was Benjamin Franklin said that a penny earned is a penny saved. A lot of us don't pinch pennies anymore. But we're not talking about losing loose change. We're talking about the lost souls of this world in this parable. Okay, let's get to the narration, the application, the confirmation of this parable. This lady was looking for something that she had lost. She had lost a coin. And instead of just shrugging her shoulders and walking away, she went about to try to find it, to try to restore it to its proper place. This parable, I think, fits well with the parable before it and the parable after it about the lost sheep and about the prodigal son. The parable of the lost sheep, there were 99, but there was one that was lost. In the parable of the lost coin, there were 10, but there was only one lost. In the parable of the prodigal son, there was two sons, but only one of them was lost. And so it's important for us to begin by maybe understanding the purpose attached to this coin. Back in those days, many women would wear a headband of coins. There were several things that represented, and many times it was the father that would give those coins to his daughter when she got married. Served as some kind of like a wedding band of sorts. You may find this in the Great Bible Discovery and some other books. But they wore a headband of coins. It declared several things. First of all, it declared that she had a marital status, that she was married, and that she was unavailable. She was taken. Secondly, it also represented a sense of independence. Okay, her father gave her those coins. And if her husband were to put her away, and divorces back then were very difficult, especially on the women. I mean, they were just put out in the street. Well, it represented some independence that if she was divorced and put out, she had bus fare home. I mean, it represented a rainy day. She also could sustain herself for a while till she got back on her feet, whatever the case may be. But it did represent some independence. Even in bankruptcy, this particular row of coins that many women wore in that day, it was off limits to the creditors. They could come and seize the husband, take him into slavery, seize all their belongings. But this personal item, it was special. And it was off limits to the creditors. It also identified a woman as, when she had all the coins in place, that she was being faithful to her husband. It represented her integrity. Because if she was guilty of losing one, it could imply that her husband had taken it to show to the world that she was unfaithful or had committed adultery. In other words, what I'm trying to say is these coins, they brought this woman some kind of glory. They brought the bride glory. It represented that her father loved her, that her husband loved her. It represented her integrity. It also was of great value to her. So as long as the coins were in place, they gave her glory. But when one of them came up missing, then that glory also was missing. Her beauty was marred and incomplete. With this in mind, I want us to consider this parable. It's obvious to me not only there was purpose associated or attached to this coin, but also this coin was very precious to this woman. Notice in these verses that she worked very hard to find it. She was very diligent. Now, it has really, if you think about it, in the margin of my Bible, it tells us that this was one piece of silver or a darkema, which this word is only found here in the Bible in verse 8. It was maybe one day's wage. It wasn't of a great deal of value, monetary value. When you think about it, it had some other purpose. Now, if we consider this parable in its context, all we need to do is look in verse 2. Look in verse 2. These parables were given in conjunction with Jesus receiving sinners and eating with them. Now, most of us that are missionary Baptists, we grow up with the terminology of somebody becoming lost. Sometimes we have people that, newcomers, visitors that come here and they say somebody's lost. You know, maybe we need to put out an alert. Maybe we need to notify the news. Maybe we need to put out a search party and call on the dogs. They're confused about the terminology. But throughout the scriptures, there are references to the human race being lost. The terminology lost can be derived from the 15th chapter of Luke, and it can be derived from other passages of scripture. Sinners, those people who are not reconciled to God, people that have not been saved, people that have not repented of their sins and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they are lost sinners. Amen. Lost sinners. And Jesus was referring to them in that way. They had lost their original status. Do you realize that man was created to glorify God? We were created to bring glory to Him. You look like in Isaiah, for instance, Isaiah 43 and 7, one of my favorite passages. There we read where the Lord says, "For I have created Him for my glory." That's why you were created. You were created to honor and glorify God. God goes on and says, He says, and I have found Him. Yea, I have made Him. See, we were created to bring honor and glory to God. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, where that man was created in the image and the likeness of God. We read in verse 8, where that he walked with God, in fellowship with God, in the cool of the day. We read a little further in verse 23, how where that he ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, plunged himself in sin, and was separated not only from the presence of God, but also the relationship and fellowship with God. Man became lost in the Garden of Eden. Bible says in Isaiah 59 and 2, the thing that keeps you lost, the thing that keeps you separated from God is your iniquity. That our transgressions, our sins, our iniquities have separated us from Him. That's what it says in Isaiah 59 and 2. It is your sins that has caused you to be lost. It is your transgressions of the righteous law of God that makes you lost and in your sins. You're separated from Him, and as long as you are separated from your original created purpose to glorify God, you are lost and undone. I believe a life lived for the Lord is one of the most beautiful and most powerful things in the world. But a lost life is of no value at all. I believe if you remain lost and in your sins, if you die lost, you're much like Judas Iscariot. It would have been better that you had never been born. Amen. Now, as we look into the value of this coin, I personally believe that the value is in the redemption of this coin. Not so much in the item itself. This woman, her life seemingly could not be complete until she had found the coin that she had lost. It filled a very important place in her life. Now, God, on the other hand, He's complete with or without us. Amen? God doesn't need us. We need Him. We need Him. But when a person is saved by the grace of God, filled with the Spirit of God, used for the glory of God, and they serve God, and they function to adorn His holy and righteous name and bring glory to His name, then you're complete in Him. That restores you to your original created place that you have lost. Now, I said I didn't believe the value was so much in the coin as it was something else. And, you know, when you study just one lost coin, I mean, she had nine others. It doesn't really have any great monetary value according to the Greek. It's about a day's wage. We drop that at Kroger in 10 minutes sometimes. And yet the woman was very diligent. I think it had more to do with her integrity. And when you think about, for instance, the shepherd, the previous parable. I mean, he had 99 other sheep, one little lost lamb. What's the big deal? I'll tell you what the big deal was. The integrity of the shepherd was at stake. A good shepherd, Jesus said in John chapter 10, will give his life for a little lamb. the shepherd's integrity was at stake. And I really don't believe that we are of equal value to the Son of God. But it was the love of God that motivated God to send His only begotten Son into this world to save us from our lost condition. His character was at stake. His love was at stake when man fell in the garden. I'll tell you what motivated Him to send His Son to redeem us, to save us from our lost condition. It wasn't that He looked at us and saw value in us. No, it was His love that motivated Him. It was the character of who He is, that He's a merciful, compassionate, loving, righteous God. You know, I consider myself a very frugal person. I know my children call me a tightwad sometimes, and I like to pinch pennies, and I'm real concerned about those things. And I've had this parable on my heart and mind but all of last week. You know, you get a subject on your mind, you're thinking about it. You know, I got one of those cards yesterday that said when you get to a certain age, you can tell anything or do anything you want to practically and get away with it. Well, I'm going to do one of those. But I went to visit somebody at St. Thomas Hospital that was dying, and she died that day, and let's pray for that family. And I had prayer with her and her family, and I was, you know, thinking about this, was in the elevator thinking about this, and ran into the men's room right before I left, the bathroom, and stood at the urinal, and I looked down, and at the bottom of that urinal was somebody had lost their pocket change. And there were coins down there. And I started laughing hysterically. I'm glad nobody else was in the bathroom. And I was laughing hysterically. I said, God, you got such a sense of humor. You know. And I said that out loud. And then I looked around and made sure nobody else was in there. You know, I'm a frugal. I'm very frugal with my money. And I won't pass up a dollar bill or change on the sidewalk. But I passed that up. Maybe if I had my fishing pole that I got last night, I might have made a difference. When the integrity of my frugalness was put to the test, it failed. Failed. But let me tell you something. When the integrity of God's love was put to the test, He reached way down into the sin-cursed world and He pulls us up out of it. Bible says Jesus became sin for us who knew no sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He loved this world. Amen. Amen. And that was a priority to God. To save you, to provide a way of salvation for you, to demonstrate His love for you, to make a way of escape for you. It's a priority in the character and in the attributes of God. I haven't even got to the interpretation of the parable itself. But when the woman realized the coin was lost, she sprung into action to get it restored. She got a light. She swept the place. She searched the house diligently for the coin that it might be found. She had a will to find it. She worked to find it. And in the end, she did find it. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm of the opinion that the shepherd in the previous parable represents Jesus Christ. Now, I'm of the opinion, you may disagree with me, I believe the woman represents the church empowered with the Holy Ghost, looking for the lost, We want to see people saved. Let me share something with you. When a church loses its priority to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to see lost souls saved, soon it will cease to be one of the Lord's churches. Amen. Jesus came to the world to seek and save that which is lost. The Holy Ghost was sent into the world to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. The Heavenly Father in the third parable represents the Father and one of those coming home. There's joy, amen? The Father wants you to come to Him. Now, a lot of people might say, well, why wouldn't this woman represent the sinner seeking the Lord? Well, the Bible does teach that you ought to seek the Lord. That's a principle of truth, isn't it? The sinners need to seek the Lord. There are other passages of Scripture that teach that. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 4:29, "And from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him, if you seek Him with all of your heart and all of your soul." In Isaiah 55:6, says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He is near." In Hebrews 11:6, it tells us, "Without faith it's impossible to please God, for those that come to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you." In Acts 17:27, the Bible says, "For they should seek the Lord, if haply they may feel after Him and find Him, though He be not very far from all of them." Listen, you ought to seek the Lord, and it needs to be a priority in your life. But if there aren't churches in this world that are seeking lost souls, that are standing for the truth, have filled with the Holy Ghost, preaching the truth of the gospel, those souls will not be found. Sinners cannot be saved without a church, without a church preaching the gospel. They cannot be saved with the aid and power and presence of the Holy Ghost. If there's ever been a day when we as the church of the true and living God, we need to get back about the Master's business. Where winning lost souls is a priority to us. I believe Holy Spirit-filled churches will have it as a priority among them. We need to be soul winners. We need to be seeking out those that are lost. We need to be telling them about Jesus. We need to grab the light and we need to search for them. We need to sweep the house. I'll tell you, one of the problems with a lot of churches, why they don't have the presence of the Holy Ghost, is there's a lot of dirtiness there. We need to clean ourselves up. We need to be right in the sight of the Lord. We need to be actively involved in reaching lost souls. A Holy Spirit-filled church will be active in reaching this lost world. No, I do not believe that the woman represents a sinner seeking the Lord. It represents the church. It represents the Holy Ghost using the church. Listen, the Holy Ghost is upon God's people. It's upon the church. And we need to let Him lead us. And we need to be actively involved and let Him work through us that we might reach a lost world. This coin was lost in darkness. It was lost in dirt and disuse. It was lost within the dwelling. I tell you, sinners will never be saved unless the light of the glorious gospel is preached. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:3, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to those that are... What's it say? If the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. I was talking to a man here the other day. And he was asking me about our church, and he said, "Now, does your church receive letters from Southern Baptists?" And I said, "We would if they were a sound Southern Baptist." I said, but those Southern Baptists that believe in women preachers and ordaining women deacons and don't believe in the infallibility of the Word of God and open up their communion to the world and believe in any kind of baptism, whether it's sprinkling, pouring, or immersion, or believe that sinners are saved by just reading the Roman Road? No!
Amen.
Not sound! Not one of the Lord's! The Spirit's left that place! Listen, if our evangelism is a priority, and if people aren't getting the gospel right, then the whole place is wrong. Whole church is out of kilter. Amen? Yeah. And I said, no. When it comes to those churches that have departed the faith of sinners getting saved, when they've departed from repentance, why does heaven rejoice? Because a sinner has repented. Listen, we as a church, we need to seek out sinners that they might come to repentance. We need to point them to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We need to show them how to repent. We ought to teach them and tell them how to repent. We ought to preach repentance. There needs to be enough Holy Ghost conviction about us to where repentance is a plain thing for them. If our gospel be hid. You know, one of the things that's really getting me, is really bothering me, maybe this is just a sign of getting older, but so many of these churches that are just, it's all about themselves. They've lost the search for lost souls. You know, they want to... Do you realize that this lady, she laid aside all of her other daily duties and became diligent about finding this one lost coin. I'll be honest with you, church, there's a lot of things that go on in here, but it's not a priority when it in comparison to a lost soul. And I know some of you are real easy to get your feelings hurt and let this, you know, this thing and that thing. And let me just say this while I'm on a soapbox. Some of you young parents, all right? I know your kids are going to get in little scuffles and this and that and so forth. Hey, my best friend gave me a black eye growing up. Stuff's going to happen. You know, there's going to be this and that. Don't let any of those things bother you. Don't let those things mess up your spirituality. People, church, let's stay focused on winning the lost at any cost. The cost of our pride, at the cost of our feelings. Now, I don't know why the Lord had me to say that, but I know it's a thing. I mean, you know, there was a big scuffle back when Aaron was a little boy here at this church. With Devin, all of us parents had to get together, me and Pat and Debbie and another family, and we all had to get together and discuss and try to find out what happened. They got in this big thing, you know. It turned out later they become best friends. Look, you know, you can sometimes make too big a deal out of a little thing. Let's put first things first, amen? We're here to win the lost. Jesus gave us the Great Commission. He said it 5 times before He left. He said, as I have done, you do. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Listen, we need to be about the Master's business. We need to take the gospel to the world. There's a lot of dark places. My time is gone. There's a lot of dark places. There's a lot of people in disuse. There's a lot of people in this community, in this dwelling, in this house. There may be somebody here this morning and you've never been saved by the grace of God. Listen, come to the Lord. He has provided a way of salvation for you. Our purpose, my ministry, my life is to simply be an index finger and point you to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. There are people in this place and they would give all of their possessions. They would give their house. They would give their car. They would give their IRAs. They would give their bank accounts. They would give their very life to see one of their children saved. Amen? And I'll even go a little further. There are some spirit-filled folks. Now this will just blow your mind. They would be willing to even do the same for somebody that don't even know. Because they know that if that one soul gets saved, it brings honor and it brings glory to God. And that Jesus shed His precious blood to save them. Do you want to see heaven rejoice today? Huh? Do you want to hear heaven rejoice today? Do you really believe what Jesus was teaching? It's the same thing happens in heaven when one sinner repents. See, I believe sinners need to repent. They need to be saved by the grace of God. They must be born again. They must be restored. They must be redeemed. They must be reestablished in a fellowship, in a relationship with God. They have to turn from sin. They have to call on the Lord. I believe the Holy Ghost stirs their conscience, helps them to seek God. Call on the Lord. Convict some of their sins. People, we need the Holy Ghost to convict people, to rearrange people. I assure you that if you call on the Lord and you seek Him with all of your heart, if you repent of your sins, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost will come in you and change you and rearrange you. He'll use your life to glorify Him. You'll be restored. And that's the business of the church, to restore the lost souls of this world to their original glory. And we can do that by the aid of the Holy Ghost, through the preaching of the cross, by the blood of Jesus. Listen, we need to be about the Master's business as a church. We need to be more diligent about seeking lost souls. I want to say this. This is a shame. It's a shame. It's a shame. But there's many people who never talk to their children or their grandchildren or their cousins or their aunts or their uncles or their friends about the Lord. You notice this lady. She sought diligently in her house. She didn't lose it out there in the street. She didn't lose it out in the city. It was something that was lost within her house, something that already existed, which actually probably represented the house of Israel. But here's the point I want to make. There are people in your corner of the world you're responsible for. You're responsible for them. You need to be all that you can be. Live the Christian life. Pray like you're supposed to pray. Study God's holy word like you're supposed to. Be close to the Lord. Walk with the Lord. Serve the Lord. And talk to those folks about Jesus. I should have got a bigger amen than that. I will never get a chance to preach to the people in your corner of the world. All the people you come in contact with, you're responsible for. Amen. And you're responsible for more than just inviting them to church. You try to get them to a place of repentance. Get those sinners to a place of repentance. And that's why we have an altar up here. Get a song here. That's why we have a mourner's bench. We still believe that sinners must repent. We teach that, and we believe that people mourn over sin. We believe that sinners need to repent. They cannot be restored unless they repent. I know a lot of folks, they say, well, we don't want anybody upset. We don't want anybody disturbed. It's time we turned over some furniture to start looking for some coins. It's time we started sweeping the house. It's time we spring up with a light. I tell you what, where the Holy Ghost is, where the light of the Holy Spirit is, people aren't ashamed to call on Jesus. Amen. I'll tell you, when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you and convicts you of your sins, you'll call on the Lord, you'll walk down that aisle, you'll get on your face before God, you'll plead for mercy like I did. Amen. Yeah. You won't need some little room somewhere to read something or have somebody talk to you. No. When the light of the Holy Spirit is in the church, God's people also were moved. Do you remember the day when you were lost? And that dear old saint or that aunt or that grandmother or that mother or grandfather or father, when they walked out of the aisle, started coming toward you, and you're like, oh no, not again, grandma, you know, or your aunt. You knew they were come to talk to you about your soul. They would do it in a service, wouldn't they? They didn't care if it offended you or offended the friend sitting next to you. Listen, we need to stop worrying about offending folks and start seeking those souls to be saved. There's a lot of churches. They're too concerned about what other churches are thinking about them, and lost sinners are not getting saved, and that's a problem. We need to worry about lost souls first. I appreciate your attention. If you're here today, let's stand. You've never been saved by the grace of God. Come to Jesus. We want to see you saved. We do. We will do anything. We'll talk with you. We'll pray with you. We'll counsel you. But the bottom line is that through the Holy Spirit and the Lamb of God, you can be saved. Apart from that, you cannot.